Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to eighth time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. All of you who are up with us. Most of you, I'm assuming, listening on the Odyssey app, unless you have an actual old school radio sitting on your table, because there is nobody out on the roads this morning. I deflowered the snow today, Seth. I drove through the virgin snow and put the first tracks in her today.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You broke the snow's...
It's cute. Yeah,
It was cute.
Yeah,
fresh
yeah.
tracks on the snow.
Indeed.
Be careful now. It'll be easy to track you.
Yeah.
Anybody out to get you? The debt collectors and whatnot. The professional trackers they've brought in to try to track you down.
Yeah.
They can follow those right to the station.
I'm good. I everybody's paid up. I'm good to go. I got nothing to hide. Live a pretty mundane life, just sitting watching my football teams lose as big underdogs in postseason games.
Rough week for you. First, you watch the Texans go down. In a good football game, but then you have to watch your Notre Dame Fighting Irish go down. It turned back into a good football game for a little while there. I don't know.
I was
Do you
told.
Believe, Sean? Do you believe?
I fell asleep.
Did you believe?
Well, I can't. I don't know whether it was belief or fatigue, but I fell asleep when it was 31-7. I'm like, okay.
I think it was a fight or flight response.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you turtled. You're like, shut it down, shut it down. I'm just going to hope this is all over soon.
My body shut down. Yeah, so they lost. I guess they mounted a pretty good comeback, and then Ohio State hit a deep one to Jeremiah Smith, and they kicked a field goal to make it an 11-point game. And Ohio State, they are your national champions, yeah.
Ryan Day, with his 70-10 career record at Ohio State, earns a brief reprieve from conversation about whether he's on the hot seat or not.
It's really amazing. You and I were talking about this before the show, and you said 70-10. I'm like, hold up, 70-10? And I've thought this independent of the record, because you know Ohio State's in it every year. They're in the mix every year, and they're going to be in the playoff every year now that it's 12 teams for sure. I always think, you lost to Michigan. That really sucks. Who are you going to find that you know is going to have a better record than Ryan Day? Like, he's been really, really good at Ohio State. And also now
let me fact check myself. Yes, with a 70-10 record, Day has the second best winning percentage among coaches with at least 80 FBS games.
Yeah.
Only Walter Camp had a better winning percentage.
Wow.
That was at Stanford and Yale in the late 1800s. Yeah. Walter Camp, responsible. I believe Walter Camp's responsible for all of the markings on the football field. That was his idea.
Oh, really? Like that?
Which is kind of a weird thing when you think about it. I don't think there's no other sport that plays with that many markings on the field, the hash marks and everything.
Yeah.
And then when he did it, that's when somebody said, "It looks like a gridiron." Old Campy. What's Campy up to anyway?
Campy.
He's in with the Federalists. I never trusted him, I tell you.
Yeah, man. It's been, It's been a tricky 72 hours for me between the Chiefs and the Texans and this Notre Dame game last night.
Careful, don't get transfixed by the highlights of your team losing up there. I think that the one thing I realized and discovered yesterday was I forced myself to get a couple of good nights sleep over the last couple of days. And all of a sudden yesterday, I was actually in the appetite for a long C.J. Stroud press conference.
It was long.
And D'Amico as well.
Yeah.
I feel like D'Amico's shortest answers were probably the most important.
The most telling. Yeah.
Which is good for radio. Yeah. But C.J., I thought, C.J., more than anything, multiple times, he kind of validated our opinion that, all right, no matter how mature C.J. or any young football player is, you never really understand the pressure that a young quarterback is under until you go through a full season of being the guy. And, you know, his rookie year, obviously, there's a lot of pressure on him. But this year, with all the expectations, CJ acknowledged that, yeah, man, I really didn't know what it was all about. And now I feel like I have a better idea of what it's all about.
Do you think that translates into a different looking off season for him, just in terms of how visible he is over the next couple of months? Radio Row, podcasts, all that stuff?
It might. Yeah. I think that it's the hardest thing in the world when somebody's kind of thrust into an extreme spotlight the way he was. I thought that he tried to manage it pretty well.
Yeah.
But things are going to seep in. And I don't want to paint a picture of him coming in as overly confident or anything. It's just that it's one of those things that you just don't know until you know. And the fact that teams have an entire offseason to figure out exactly how they're going to attack you, I think regardless of whether he goes on podcasts or not, I think that he and probably Bobby Slowick too, because Bobby probably thought he knew more than he did, even though he knew that he didn't know what he didn't know. You just never know. That it's got to be always back to basics.
Yeah.
It's that, man, you start at square one, and it's not a cliche. It's that you have to build everything back up from the very ground, and you can't have notions in your head of being the greatest show on turf or anything until you get the real basics right. And this is a team that it took them a long, long time to get some of the basics right this season.
Yeah, we'll get into this D'Amico audio here in just a second. And I guess just to put a bow on the CJ offseason thing, like to be fully transparent, I don't recall us being like overly critical of him doing all those things at the time. I thought it was pretty cool. Hey, our quarterback is a sought-after entity. Been a while since we've had that, you know?
Yeah, but having gone through it, I'm glad that he had this season. Because it is, and it's a trite way to put it, but like, you don't know what you don't know. But even when you consciously know that you don't know what you don't know, you still have no appreciation for actually just what it's going to be like.
Yep.
With anything in life. Marriage, like your job, anything, like you just flat out don't know or truly understand until you go through it.
Yep.
And now he's been through it.
And I think he'll be better for it. He's someone who I think is going to actually take the lessons and apply them going into year three. So let's get into D'Amico here. As you mentioned, the shortest cuts, maybe the most telling cuts. Let's start. This was D'Amico. This was before a question was even asked. He came into the press conference with a bit of a mini opening statement.
Be a lot of questions about, you know, staffing players and all those things. Just want to let you guys know that I'll take the week to make those decisions on staffing and all those things. So before everybody gets started, just want to let you guys know.
Okay,
that.
So at that point when he said that, there'd been no news about anything. Since then, Aaron Wilson had a report that Chris Strauser is not expected back next season, the offensive line coach. One of the details from that story, Seth, was that he actually pondered retirement before this season. So this, I'm sensing like a mutual parting of the ways kind of thing perhaps coming, right?
Right, yeah, or a polite way to put it, perhaps. Yeah. And, talk about being all in. Yeah, I love the coaching. What a profession. What a profession to be in when you're not sure if you want to do it anymore. There's nothing quite like working 18-hour days when you're not quite sure whether you want to do it or not. And that's what it looked like. That, frankly, I'm not trying to bash on him individually or anything, but the entire operation looked like People that weren't quite sure what they wanted to do or what they were supposed to be doing.
Take all the offensive lines that were left in the playoffs this weekend and ask yourself which one played like one where you think the coach might have been pondering retirement before the year.
I'm with you. I mean, it's one of these things, and I've done a few of these videos on YouTube where you don't even have to have a technical eye for it. You can just see the difference between the good teams, the good offensive lines, and the bad offensive lines. Yeah. There's a cohesion, there's a symmetry, there's a physicality that just shows up. And you very rarely saw that with the Texans offensive line. So whoever it might be, it's not Jeff Stoutland. He's still in the playoffs, but hopefully it's somebody that can come in and get this team into tip-top shape, Sean.
Yep, hopefully it's an upgrade. Okay, so this was, to me, the most interesting, and we'll find out, I guess, in the next few days if it was telling or not. Yeah. But I'm looking at all the cuts from D'Amico's press conference yesterday, and there's 47 seconds, 55 seconds, a minute four on Chris Boyd, 53 seconds on different things here and there. This was a six-second answer. Thoughts on Bobby Slowick's performance as a play caller in year number two?
Yeah, I think overall with Bobby, I saw some growth, saw some improvement throughout the year.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
Effusive praise.
Right.
If I do say so myself.
Okay, so if you had to handicap it based on that quote right there, what would your thought be on whether Bobby Slowick one of the things that D'Amico's pondering right now the next couple
of
days?
I had been saying I figured it was probably a 75% chance that Bobby Slowick's going to come back. Maybe it's down to 50-50 right now. At the very least, I think there's going to be an honest assessment and evaluation. And, I think D'Amico, this is where I don't want to read too much into it. D'Amico is pretty self-aware, and he understands that as a head coach, you're going to have blind spots. And one of those things can be loyalty to your friends or affection for various players, and that you got to fight like hell to against that bias.
Yeah.
So it might be as simple as like, hey, he just wants to be sure that he's giving an honest appraisal of everybody, and he just wants to be sure he does that with Bobby Slowick. The other dynamic here is that, Chip Kelly's name has started a bit floated out there just by people speculating that, hey, Chip Kelly, offensive coordinator for the Buckeyes, just won a national championship. He's been a successful coordinator, and I would say head coach at least to a degree, but a coordinator in the NFL. This is the thing about Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, when he got hired in Philadelphia as a rookie head coach, he did one very, very interesting thing, which was he hired Jeff Stoutland as the offensive line coach for the Eagles. And Jeff Stoutland remains the Eagles' offensive line coach.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly, I think, knows how to identify and find good offensive line coaching, and he does focus a lot more on the offensive line than people might think. I mean, his offenses are not air raid offenses. They're spread the ball out to run as much as it is to pass, and he knows offensive line. I think that's something. That is something. So the question becomes, all right, Bobby Slowick, has he shown enough progress and do they feel like he has a future? And even if you do feel like he has a future, do you feel better about a guy like Chip Kelly or whomever else out there that can just come in and be leaps and bounds ahead of Bobby from day one?
I
think I would prefer Chip Kelly, but I do understand if they feel like, okay, having this continuity with CJ could make a big difference. And it's going to be very interesting over the next week or two.
Yeah, I think, look, CJ picked up, CJ was the rookie of the year, so he was picking up NFL football at a pretty rapid rate when he got here. Picking up a new system or a new offense, I don't think is a major concern to me, especially if the balancing act with that is you got a guy who you just, as you pointed out, is just better at identifying coaching talent and talent, period. We should point out, too, that specific to Chip Kelly, D'Amico Ryan's last three seasons in the NFL, he was playing for Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. So they've got history together, too.
Yeah, that's it's kind of like, okay, do you make a bet on the future or do you go with a proven commodity? At some point, people were wondering, like, okay, do I buy some Bitcoin or not? I don't know. Seems like, what could it ever actually do? I'm not sure about this Bitcoin. I'm going to stick with IBM.
So
do you go with the Bobby Bitcoin Or is Bobby more like the Hawktua girl currency that she put out there? The is crypto? Bobby Bitcoin or Hawktua coin?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I don't know.
So I went on our sister station in Kansas City yesterday afternoon, and I did to their text page what Carrington Harrison did to our text page last Friday.
Yeah.
Yep. You'll hear it. See how I did. Grade me. Coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
So, Seth, I got a text yesterday from Rob, who is Carrington Harrison's producer in Kansas City on our sister station. He texted me at like 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. He's like, hey, do you guys archive the post-game show anywhere? We'd love to. They apparently, after the Chiefs beat somebody in the playoffs, they like to play some of the phone calls from the opposing market that complain particularly about the officiating. They've got very big rabbit ears, as you know, about the officials being credited with a big hand in all their Super Bowl championships.
Oh, yeah, they do not. They're not happy about anything that takes away from just the awesomeness that is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
And Pat Mahomes, who could never, ever, ever be guilty of exploiting the playbook or kind of acting like a dramatic little version of his brother, Jackson Mahomes.
Right.
Who's by far now the less dramatic of the two Mahomes siblings.
That's one of the oddest developments, is Jackson Mahomes is now the more likable Mahomes.
Yeah, I love Jackson. Yeah. I wish Mahomes would just tone it down a little bit like his brother Jackson. Yeah,
that's right. Okay? So I said I don't know that we archive the post-game show. That's actually Texans Real Estate. That's not ours. It's a Texans production. Check their app. Maybe it's on there. I don't know. And so Rob texted me back. He said, "Hey, we can't find it. Whatever. Do you want to come on with us?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I would love to come on with you guys. Love to." Mm-hmm. And so I do, and I like Carrington. He's got a really good show. I'm happy to go on any time. This particular time, though, I was very happy to go on. So I went on yesterday afternoon. Before we get to what I said that got everybody angry up in Kansas City, And we don't have audio of this, unfortunately. It doesn't make it into their podcast because it's a promotional bumper leading into the segment.
Yeah.
But you know how sometimes radio stations do they have an actual player say, hey, this is Laramie Tunsil, and you're listening to Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I'm sitting there on hold, and I hear, and I kid you not, the name of Carrington Harrison's show is The Drive, just like ours.
Yeah, this is why I got confused by the text you sent me yesterday. So, yeah.
This is Rashee Rice, and you're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison. And I that's an odd one to use, considering he started a six-car pileup in Dallas over the summer, you know?
Yeah, he is The Drive. He is like the worst drive ever.
He's the worst person. So I commented about that on my way in on the show.
I'm good, Carrington. It's good to hear your voice. I don't mean to choose violence right out of the chute, but was that a promo that I just heard with Rashee Rice promoting The Drive?
Yes, that is it. I know what you're about to say. I understand what ironic. You're saying. I didn't have anything to do with that.
That's I know you didn't. I'm just pointing it out. That's wild to me. But anyways, yeah. Okay. So let's talk. Let's talk about this game.
Right now we're talking to Sean Pendergast.
You take it down. Yeah.
We should call our show the Unregistered Firearms. This is Rashee Rice here for Unregistered Weapons.
Man, I didn't want to go too deep on it, but in my mind, I'm going, are you going to have his mom come on and, talk? Like, this is Rashee Rice's mom, and you're listening to The Drive, sponsored by UPS.
The Drive, sponsored by... Oh, no, you actually got to call it the actual... Porch Pirates, yeah. Because that's what she got. For those of you who don't know, Rashee Rice's mom, while wearing a Rashee Rice jersey, she porch pirated.
Yeah.
She grabbed packages from in front of somebody's door.
Yep.
And that's how they caught her.
Yep.
They're like, that woman wearing Rashee Rice's jersey looks like Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
It made me feel more sympathetic to Rashee Rice. Because, like, obviously... It's one thing to be a criminal. It's another to be a stupid criminal.
Yes.
But if your example, all you have to look up to is a stupid criminal, then so go with you.
Yeah, and that's how it goes. All right, so we got that out of the way. And then he asked me, like, hey, how are Texan fans reacting to the officiating part of the game? And I basically told him, I said, look, we're not happy about it. You know, like, it was definitely, if we were to, you know, every game, one team benefits more than the other from officiating, and clearly the Chiefs benefited more in that game. I think the tone here was definite frustration with the refs, but I think by and large, there's a resolve that they just need to not have to go on the road in the divisional round. You know, like, you go on the road and play at the Chiefs, or you go on the road in basketball and play at the Warriors back in the day when they were good. You know, like, that's part... It's baked into the home field advantage that the human beings officiated the games get somewhat influenced by what is going on with the home team in that state.
Well, yeah, and then part of just aside from the officiating side of it, somebody in the press conference yesterday asked about playing in the cold And CJ said, I didn't think the cold was a factor, but that it's playing at home, especially the way the defense has played at home this year, where the defense played well enough in that game to win the game.
Yeah.
Except that, man, at home, they turn the ball over.
Big time.
They create takeaways. They have huge, huge plays. Yeah. So, yeah, that is a big part of it. The other thing, too, is as far as I love how people act like you can't talk about the officiating without being accused of you blaming that as the only reason they lost. Like, no, there are on offense and defense, there are about 140 plays in a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like after an incredible Pat Mahomes catch or throw and catch, we would sit here and say, like, well, yeah, but that's not the reason they won the game. Like, yeah, but it's not. I mean, it's a factor
it's
in the
reason.
Game.
It's
one
reason.
Play
yeah.
among 140. And then some plays are more poignant than others. Those unnecessary roughnesses were poignant moments in the game.
Yep. Okay, so I explained, I think, on behalf of Texan fans, like, how we were feeling about it. And then I was not going to leave that interview, that conversation, without getting my opinion out there about Patrick Mahomes.
The gall that Patrick Mahomes has to abuse the rules the way that he does, I can understand where players after the game, where you're right after the game, testosterone-laden atmosphere. It's a high testosterone zone. Emotions are running high. The game just ended 10 minutes ago. The stuff that Mahomes does to me, Carrington, is disgusting. That he does where he's got a pass out of bounds and he decides to tippy toe back inside, slide down so he can draw an illegal, you know, an unnecessary roughness penalty. The flop out of bounds. Like, I get it. Like, you guys have three Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes. I rooted for James Harden and defended him for years in Houston, so I kind of know the territory that we're in right now. You guys got the titles at least to show for it, but the level of bargaining that has to go on with a fan of a player that flops is tough. And I'm sure there's a ton of Kansas City fans right now listening to me say this, say, we don't really care. We win with the guy. We love the guy. And that's all well and good. I think it's wussy-ish stuff that Patrick Mahomes does, and I hope they legislate it the hell out of the game.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Wussy. You called him a wussy.
I came close to using the I almost took it up a notch.
Different consonant.
Yeah. So how did I do, Seth? How did I do?
I thought that was really good. Thanks, I thought, man. You didn't sound like an unhinged lunatic either.
Right.
I think that was very good logic. And people might vehemently disagree with you, but only because they're wussies themselves. Which is, we know Missouri's full of wussies. That's why Mark Twain didn't stay there. It's why he went to Connecticut, of all places.
That's the hardscrabble streets, man. Absolutely. The Mark Twain house in Hartford, Connecticut, baby.
Yeah. The abusing of the rules and the wanton floppiness. It's un-American. It's un-American.
Apparently I went back in for more because there's one more cut here. So, so I went back in on Mahomes. Once wasn't good enough. I went back in one more time.
The funny thing was about it, Carrington, is that if they had called something, he was actually pushed while he was still in bounds. That was the crazy part. Like if you go back and watch that play, his feet are still in bounds when Henry Toa nudges him slightly. And then his arms are flailing. He looks like one of those big inflatables outside of a new car dealership with the arms flailing around like Bailey had in WWE back in the day, like just flailing the arms and whatnot. That stuff, like, he's so above that, man. Like, you guys know that. This guy is the best player in recent memory. He's the best. He's the GOAT. If we're to define this generation as post-Brady, he's the post-Brady GOAT. He doesn't need to be doing that stuff. Like, if I was a Kansas City fan, I would be secretly disgusted with it. I wouldn't walk around town saying how disgusted I am because I don't know how the rest of, you know, everybody else would feel about it. But I just thought that stuff, like, that's like, he should be so above that. That's stuff Zach Wilson should be doing. You know what I mean? Like, or Will Levis. That's a Will Levis move right there. Patrick Mahomes ain't Will Levis. He doesn't need to be doing that. I just thought that stuff was gross.
Yeah.
You know what I should have armed you with before you went into that interview was the memory of him last year after they had that Kadarius Toney offsides that negated the touchdown at the end of the Bills game.
Yeah.
And immediately after the game, Mahomes, who would never whine about the officials, that's what all the Chiefs fans are saying right now, goes up to Josh Allen. He was like, that was the dumbest call I've ever seen.
Oh, that's what that was.
Bleeping unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful.
Okay.
He was a whiny little
That little snippet that you're talking about there was making its way around the internet this weekend because they're going to play each other again. Yeah. And I couldn't remember what play he was talking about.
It was the Kadarius Toney aligned offsides. Yeah. And then Travis Kelce, remember, caught the ball and then pitched it to Kadarius Toney.
That's right.
The play was negated. And after the game, Mahomes just was whining about the officials to Josh Allen. And then later on in the press conference.
In a win. Josh Allen wanted to hear that.
Yeah. He was even... And then even after the game, it was pathetic.
Was that the game? Was that the playoff game?
No. That was a regular season game.
So did Buffalo win that game in the regular season?
Got you. Yeah.
I thought it was after the playoff game for some reason. I got confused. Sorry about that.
You're not allowed to be the one who gets confused on stuff, Sean, because then it really throws me into turmoil.
Then I'm like,
oh, crap, I probably don't have any of this right.
No, you had it right. Because now I can picture it, and they were in Arrowhead. They were in Arrowhead Stadium for that game. They had to go on the road and beat Buffalo in the playoffs last year.
Oh, no, and then the next day in the press conference, she said, well, I just, Travis Kelce is such a great player, and they took it away from him.
Oh, that's right, the moment.
It didn't even affect the play.
That's right.
He was lined up against... egregiously offsides, Patrick.
Yeah.
All right. You guys bring Kadarius Toney onto your team. This is what you get. All right.
Yeah.
You're gonna blame the officials for Kadarius Toney being Kadarius Toney.
Man.
He's bad. He's bad for the game and bad for America. And any Kansas City Chiefs fan who doesn't recognize it or realize it, you're bad for America as well.
That's right.
Frankly, I think you should lose your right to vote. I'd rather see felons vote than you.
Carrington sent me the pictures of the text page after I went in and said the things I said. There was this guy, WTF, cry more. This guy, these are all separate texts. This guy is a loser. No one flops more than Josh Allen. Josh Allen is just as bad. Dude sounds like he's going to break down. LMFA.
That's interesting. I didn't realize you were on in Buffalo. That's interesting.
Right. He's disgusted with the call, LMAO. There's some that are I can't read because they're very graphic.
Yeah, just like Pat Mahomes, I couldn't play the audio because he says the F word three times in that little conversation with Josh Allen when he's whining about the officials.
Get this goofball out of here. He's jealous he doesn't have a beast like Mahomes.
Hello. Sean's other team was a national championship game participant last night.
That's right.
He knows about... almost championship
participant. Yeah, yes. exactly as the highlights play up on the TV up there. Some of it I'm getting caught up on. I fell asleep in the second half of that game. I can't believe I missed the comeback in that game. Hell of a comeback by the Irish. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So that was my appearance on Kansas City. If you're up and you're listening, text in, let me know how I did representing Houston, really representing people who are anti-flopping at large.
Representing America, mostly,
is
what you had to do.
Yep.
You're no doubt. You're as great a man as any actual Medal of Honor winner.
I am anxious to get Ross Tucker's thoughts on this at the top of the hour and see where he stands on all the Mahomes stuff.
Talking to Ross Tucker too about potentially the Texans looking for a new offensive line coach.
Yeah.
He watches a lot of football and might have some ideas for who we should go out and grab.
That'd be great. All right, Payne and Pendergast, what Seth's referring to there, it sounds like Chris Strouser, O-line coach, will not be back in 2025. We'll touch on that and a whole lot more in headlines coming up next. The coaching carousel appears to be stopping in a couple of places today and maybe later on today as well. And we've got a college football champion as well. We'll get to all of that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Texans. The news with the Texans, D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. We'll dig into more of what he and C.J. Stroud had to say throughout the show this morning. As if you're driving around, be safe out there right now. A ton of snow on the ground. Chris Strouser will not be back, it sounds like, as the offensive lineman. Aaron Wilson was the first one I saw report that, Seth. So that's at least one change, and we don't know what the dynamics, if it's he's being asked to leave or if he's leaving of his own volition. Part of the report was he was pondering retiring before this past season.
Yeah, and that's interesting too. If he was pondering retiring, I wonder because I've heard different versions of this. I don't know if they just convinced him to come back or whatever. I have zero clue what actually happened. It's always important to remember that, man, there's times where you'd like to go out and get a different position coach, but the good ones tend to be under contract, and sometimes you got to wait for somebody to get fired or for things to change. The sheer speculation right now, and I'll be very clear, this is just 100% speculation, but I'm intrigued by is on the offensive coordinator side of things. Chip Kelly is the offensive coordinator of the Ohio State Buckeyes, mm-hmm. and just won a national championship last night.
Yep.
I just wonder if D'Amico, who played for Chip Kelly for three seasons, is pondering that at all. And the part of that that is involved with the offensive line is that Chip Kelly, when he was the head coach of the Eagles, hired Jeff Stoutland, who's one of the very best offensive line coaches ever. So, and Chip Kelly is very involved in the run game. Like, he's established that he can establish a run game. When it comes to D'Amico trying to make these decisions about, okay, which O-line coach to hire, I'm evaluating Bobby Slowick. How do I feel about Bobby Slowick versus, all right, what if we were to have a conversation with Chip Kelly? I think that D'Amico is very honestly trying to appraise and assess everything. And I think he understands that we know he likes Bobby a lot personally, but sure. He has to try to be as objective as possible and do what's best for the team.
Yeah. Chip Kelly's very intriguing. He's an intriguing guy. He left the UCLA head coaching job to take the Ohio State offensive coordinator job after Bill O'Brien left Ohio State to go to Boston College.
Which feels like the exact kind of thing you'd do to, it's almost the way a young coach would take less money to go, you know, coach for the Patriots or something, mm-hmm. like Bill O'Brien did back in the day.
Yeah.
Because you know it's a good stepping stone.
Yeah.
And there's almost a dynamic there where I could see, all right, if he wants to get back into being a head coach in the NFL again, like, doing a really good job with a national championship caliber program might be better for him than doing whatever he can do at UCLA.
Yeah.
And I could see, too, where he might, now that he's seen both sides and now that college has become what it is with NIL, he might like to get back into the NFL and just be able to just be on the pure football coaching side of things.
That'd be a fun hire, man. I think that would get Texan fans excited about the offense again. That's intriguing to me. The Texans and the Chiefs put a lot of butts in seats. Well, at least a lot of butts in front of televisions. 32.7 million viewers. It's the most watched NFL game ever on ESPN. Now, to keep in mind, this is the network that carries Monday Night Football. It's ESPN, you know. It's the most watched NFL game ever on ESPN. 32.7 million tuning into the Texans and the Chiefs.
So good job, Texans.
Way to
Obviously,
go.
Obviously, the Chiefs had a big part to do with all of that.
Says I think
that
you.
It is interesting that, I mean, there were good matchups this weekend. There was a good divisional round of football.
It's way better than the wild card round.
Yeah, usually it's the opposite, isn't it? Usually the wild card round ends up being the better or whatever. I don't know. It changes from era to era. It was a really good slate of games. But I think CJ himself and whatever he develops into as a quarterback, I think might end up being good for the Texans getting more primetime games.
Oh yeah.
I think there's a level of intrigue about CJ.
No doubt. No doubt. As far as the head coaching carousel goes, looks like Ben Johnson is on his way to Chicago. That makes a lot more sense than the rumors that had him penned in for Las Vegas. You know, Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, is a guy who's been super selective the last couple of years about where he would go. It stands to far more reason that he would go somewhere that's got Caleb Williams than Las Vegas that has nobody right now.
Right, and without necessarily, in a year where he might not be excited about any of the potential quarterbacks. I guess the big thing about Ben Johnson is when you're being super selective and very Goldilocks about finding just the right temperature of a place to go, he did stiff-arm the Commanders this year. And to Dan Quinn's credit, I just read a really nice long article by Tyler Dunn about the way Dan Quinn has built the culture in that building. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. He's done an incredible job with it. But like Ben Johnson thought that, I'm not quite so sure about this Washington situation. And they went out and they drafted Jaden Daniels. And you got to think that Ben Johnson could have done a pretty good job with Jaden Daniels. But I'd give full credit to Cliff Kingsbury for everything he's done with him. But it's a hard thing to figure which which organization genuinely is a toxic cesspool and which one isn't?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Washington obviously is not anymore, at least the short term
right,
returns.
But it felt like Ben Johnson thought it was.
Yeah,
You know, like at some point you're gonna be responsible for turning something around.
Well, in Chicago, look, the degree of difficulty. I don't care that Caleb Williams was the first overall pick.
Yeah.
That's an organization that's never had good quarterback play ever for any sustained period of time in their history.
By the way, we have to put another member of the Seth Payne coaching tree into the Ben, put it into the Google Doc, the Seth Payne coaching tree. I forgot to do this earlier in the year. Jason Simmons, former Houston Texans player, he and I were together. We played together for 5 years early on. Mm-hmm. He's the defensive passing game coordinator of the Commanders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Happy for him.
Let's call it the Texans coaching tree. That feels a little...
I like the Seth Payne coaching tree.
Just a tad bit less egocentric.
I like the narcissism. I like the narcissism of the Seth Payne coaching tree. Hey, speaking of which, report from Ian Rappaport yesterday that a monumental day. Top target Aaron Glenn visits the Jets today, and the goal is to keep him from leaving the building, sources say. So they are
they're going to go Mario Williams on his ass.
That's right, Mario.
That's
in
what
Buffalo.
The Bills did with Mario Williams. Yeah. They wouldn't let him leave.
Yep. So they want Aaron Glenn badly in New York for the Jets, and that makes sense. He's a legacy there.
The biggest thing that happened with Mario Williams when he visited the Bills, and there's a link here to Aaron Glenn. Don't worry, Sean. I'm not leading you astray. I was up visiting my parents that weekend when Mario Williams was visiting Buffalo, because I'm about an hour away from there. Mm-hmm. And it was the most unseasonably delightful spring day, where usually it was that time of year where, man, if anything, you're like, when is winter ever going to end? It was actually really nice out. It was like high 50s and sunny and everything.
March. That had to be March because it's free agency.
Yeah, and they didn't let him leave. And I'm looking up at the sky. I'm like, boy, they are duping Mario right now. He has no idea what it's usually like here for 7-8 months out of the year.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
So Aaron's already, like, he played for the Jets.
He knows the deal.
He knows the deal, and he knows it kind of like D'Amico with the Texans. That might be the Jets' best option for a place that's just gotten a horrible, horrible boatload of PR about the owner himself and everything else. There, Aaron Glenn, a former player who played there and has affection for the team and the organization, that might be their best bet right now.
Yep.
And Aaron, you like most of our listeners know, I have very, very, I hold Aaron in very high regard. Yeah. He's one of the most respectable, mature, just intelligent guys I ever played with.
Yeah, this feels like a very logical step in his coaching career here.
He's like, he could be D'Amico's uncle. You know, he's like kind of wired the same way as D'Amico in a lot of ways.
Yep. And like D'Amico, going back to try to rescue his downtrodden franchise that he played for. And D'Amico's done a pretty good job of that here.
Maybe give Woody Johnson some financial advice.
Yeah, maybe. College football playoff title game last night. Ohio State beats Notre Dame 34-23. Notre Dame scored on the first drive of the game. It was a lot like that Texans drive to start the second half. They ran 18 plays for 80-some-odd yards and took 9 minutes off the clock, scored a touchdown, and then Ohio State scored on their next five possessions after that.
So Ryan Day got himself off the mythical hot seat.
Yeah. Fortunately, he ran his record up to 70-10. Boy, if he were 69-11, you got to get rid of that guy, I tell you.
It is a crazy – it's the best record for somebody with 80 games or more coach since Walter Camp. Who coached in the before the forward pass was legal?
So silly.
So Ryan Day basically smarter than Walter Camp
because
he knew how, he did it with a forward pass.
Yep. Pistons beat the Rockets yesterday in an MLK Day afternoon affair, 107-96. Just not a good game for the Rockets and Astros. This Anthony Santander, outfielder, was an all-star for the Orioles this year. He was someone I was kind of crossing my fingers, hoping the Astros might, as free agency drags on, might be able to get on a 2 or 3 year deal here to play outfield for the Astros. Signs with the Blue Jays, 5 years, $90 million. He's headed to Toronto, and I'm bracing myself for a Dubon, Jake, Chaz outfield left to right on opening day.
Yeah,
should be dandy.
That rookie. Oh yeah, Sasaki went to the Dodgers.
He went to the Dodgers. Yeah, yeah. So did Tanner Scott. Everybody's going to the Dodgers.
I had my dream was that Kikuchi was going to be basically turn this era of Astros into what we did with the Cubans before. Yeah. I wanted to turn into a place where Japanese pitchers just couldn't wait to get to.
Not working out that way,
especially with a name like Sasaki.
I know.
That's even better than Kikuchi.
Oh yeah. Well, they're both pretty good. They're both pretty good. Yeah.
I got to get back on my Japanese lessons that I was taking on my app.
There you go.
It's just fun to say Japanese words.
It is.
But I want to speak Japanese so it doesn't sound like I'm just being racist.
Right? Like, just playing around with their language.
Yeah. I got to be actually able to converse it a little bit so I'm not pulling a Shaq.
Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL insider. He was on the radio call for the Chiefs and the Texans on Westwood One this weekend. We'll get his thoughts on the officiating in that game and what the league needs to do about stuff that Patrick Mahomes is doing. We'll get to that with Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, next.